in Sheridan.
WyoJam 2026 Outdoor Concerts in downtown Sheridan. Four nights, big stage, country, rock, and hip-hop. Wednesday, free concert benefiting Reach with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Thursday, rock the night with Shoot to Thrill, Blow Your Top, and Recaptured. Friday, Afro Man and Ying Yang Twins. And Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026, July 8th through the 11th. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. The busiest and best time to make your real estate move is here with green grass, blue skies, and everything in full bloom. We say all the time, our team is here for you 24/7, 365. But we know many people look to spring for the real estate move so their home can look the absolute best. The right time of year means it's time to get serious and build your plan for the move you've been waiting for. Let our team at Best Real Estate be your guide so you may have a spring season to enjoy. Give us a call today, 675-BEST, or visit bestwy.net. Make it a great day.
Every building needs a strong foundation to weather life's storms. Your financial legacy is no different. I'm Susie Garber-Johnson, partner and wealth advisor with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. We help clients build disciplined, coordinated financial strategies designed to support you today and safeguard future generations. Call 307-655-6870. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, June 16th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Britain Museum Curatorial Director, Yuken Weirich. Did I get that right?
You got it right. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
And by phone, we are joined by Lakota artist, Rhonda Holy Bear. Good morning, Rhonda. Are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Fantastic. And good morning to Yuken. Now, we've got a lot to talk about. Longtime listeners know I'm very curious about processes, about how people get their artistic inspiration. But before we get there, let's talk about the exhibition. Yuken, can you tell us about the Unfinished War, the Battle of the Little Bighorn in Native American art?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me. It's an exciting exhibition. I'm just really excited to have the opportunity to talk about it. It's a great story. I have a couple of decades of curatorial work under my belt, but this is a really special project, and I'm really honored to be the curatorial lead on this exhibition, because I worked very closely with Native American art and also with Native American artists and historians and knowledge keepers. Mm-hmm. And so it was a big responsibility for me to get it right.
Yeah.
And maybe I should just start by saying that, so I came here about 2 years ago, and I immediately realized, well, the 150th anniversary of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, or Battle of the Greasy Grass, is coming up. So I started to research the collection, and I found some really wonderful, wonderful art made by Native Americans. Some of it very historic, actually made by artists who were survivors of the battle.
Oh, wow.
People who actually, were warriors in the battle, or were, young children. And then I just started to build out from that, and I started to realize we also had in the collection works that were from the 20th century, where artists from a different generation still were thinking about the battle, and they were thinking about Custer, and so what I realized is that that story hasn't finished, right? That's an ongoing story, and that's what really kind of, you know, drew me to this topic. And eventually I was able to work with some living artists who actually some of them created work specifically for the show. And so this is the story that I think if you come to the Britain and you see the show, I hope that, you know, it kind of unfolds, you know, and the history of Native American responses unfolds over time, and it becomes this sort of really interesting conversation across generations.
Now, we know why now is the right time. I do like the idea that as soon as you got down here, you started thinking 2 years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big one. I want to get it right. Now, you said the story was unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
What story does this exhibition tell that visitors may not have encountered before? The Battle of the Little Bighorn, of the Greasy Grass, I wouldn't say celebrated, but it's remembered very, very well in this area. My father is a bit of an amateur historian when it comes to this particular battle himself. People just find it extremely interesting.
Yeah.
What part haven't they really gotten a chance or an opportunity to learn that you're hoping they learn here?
Yeah. So, to tell the story through the visual arts, number one is, I think it's a pretty unique way of accessing, you know, that knowledge. It is connect, you know, the visual arts, what we see in those pictographic paintings, you know, paintings on muslin and ledger book and so forth. You know, it is also oral history, right? It's connected to oral history. And when you speak to, you know, some of the Native American artists that I spoke to, you know, living today, they say, you know, yes, it's something that is passed on, you know, through generations. And, you know, for example, we have a muslin painting by Stephen Standing Bear, who was a survivor. He was a warrior. He was a friend of Black Elk Speaks, very, very famous Lakota holy man. And so we have then also work by his great-grandson, Arthur Emiot, in the show. And Arthur, you know, commented about how he's still, you know, indebted to his great-grandfather and the stories that came through, you know, the family. And so I think that is an untold story.
Yeah.
I think the urge, the need for, you know, these Native American artists to keep exploring this topic, not to forget this topic.
Yeah.
Always be to have their voice heard. And I think that is something that I think also just, I hope that it comes across in the exhibition.
And it's a completely different perspective that maybe a lot of people haven't had the opportunity to see.
Yeah, it's been, you know, early on there were some collections or some non-Native people who collected oral history, but it was never given much credibility.
Yeah.
It was never really part of the, let's say, the mainstream. It was always the, you know, Custer's last stand is what people focused on, and they wanted to figure out what happened. And, you know, people came to the battlefield to maybe learn something about, you know, what happened with Custer and so forth. So that other story never really fully was really present and listened to. And then things did change, you know, in the 20th century, you know, there was a strong Native American movement. Some people call it Red the Red Power movement, where a new generation of Native Americans started to take some control over the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the art in the exhibition deals directly with Custer and the myth, right? The legend of Custer, the last stand. And these artists are starting to sort of take a more critical view of that. And so there have been, it's not that we are, completely charting new territory, but I think what we're doing is we're gathering these voices in a way that I think hasn't been presented this way.
Yeah. Now, I know it had to be extremely difficult to go through all of this art and decide who you're going to put within the exhibition. How long did that take? And was there a process that you took to select the artists?
Yes. That's always, it's always a challenge because you end up showing work that not showing work that you really wanted, or you end up adding work that you didn't really set out to include. So, for example, I really wanted to include Hyde paintings, like some of those early, let's say, late 1800s painters, actually painted still on Hyde, even though that tradition was also really disappearing. Mm. And artists started to paint more on other media, such as ledger and muslin and so forth. But I wanted to include a Hyde painting, and I just couldn't get it. I wanted to borrow one from another museum, and they wouldn't let them travel.
It's just one of those things that's too valuable. And I'm not even talking about like a monetary value.
Yeah.
It's too valuable to a history.
Yeah.
And they probably just didn't want to take that risk.
I completely understand. And we at the Britain also would be reluctant probably to travel some of our most precious, precious objects.
Absolutely.
But then again, this also then allowed me to explore further and, so I ended up also looking at, what are artists, Native American artists, what are they doing today? How do they, respond to this history? And then I came across quite a number of people. There was a Northern Cheyenne artist, Bentley Spang, who actually typically does more, multimedia work. And so he included photographs. One of them is of his dad, who... Zane Spang, who was one of the Northern Cheyenne who would do the annual ride to the battlefield.
Wow.
And his family was very instrumental in keeping that going, that tradition. And his father passed away, I think, a couple of years ago. And then there was an artist, an Arapaho artist, Al Hubbard, who actually does more, a little bit more on the abstract side. His paintings are a bit more on the abstract side, but he did something really powerful, which is it's a painting that's in the shape of a shield. And on the shield, he has the word in Arapaho, which I'm not going to speak right now because I think I might mess that up, but it's just indelible, right? And he's saying that, this piece represents how Native Americans today, who are descendants of the people that fought in the battle, how they feel about their identity.
Yeah.
They're indelible. You said, we're still here and we're not going away. And those kinds of statements, I think, again, just make this such a rich exhibition.
How many pieces are in the exhibition?
So there's over 20. There's actually close to 30 pieces. And, there's one artist, Amos Badhart Bull, who he was a ledger book artist, and we have 10 of his ledger books. But I will also say that they are reproductions, and this is a really fascinating story, and I think your listeners might want to know about it. This is a ledger book that actually is gone. It was buried with his sister. So after he passed away, the ledger book was passed on to the sister. But then luckily, there was a scholar, an anthropologist, this is like 1920s, an anthropologist who asked to borrow the ledger book and took photographs of it. So we have a sort of a fairly rare edition of prints that are based on these photographs. And this is the only way that the ledger book has survived.
Wow. Wow. That is pretty incredible.
It is.
Someone took the time to try to preserve this as much as they possibly could in the only way that they knew how. Now, Rhonda, as a Lakota artist, what was your reaction when you were invited to participate in this project?
Oh, I was extremely honored to have been invited to participate in the Unfinished War because I have family history with direct ties to it. And so it meant that a piece of my work was going to go home. I'm from South Dakota, so I live off of the reservation. Now I live in Nevada. But it meant that a piece of my work could go home and be seen there by the people.
Which, could you describe the piece that was the piece selected, or were you allowed to basically select what you felt best represented the Unfinished War?
Oh, I believe Yochin saw the piece from the Art Institute of Chicago. It's a pretty elaborate piece of work. It was 12 years in the making.
Wow.
And it stands about maybe, I think it's about 23, 24 inches tall. It's carved, the body is carved out of wood. And then there are many layers to the piece. It's not just a piece that has beadwork. There's also the dress opens up from the side. And there are four war honor dresses underneath. It almost like a book, like if you were to look through the pages of a book. You can see, I wanted people to be able to see that there was a rich history behind the piece. But I believe Yochin saw the piece because it had been recently acquired by the Art Institute of Chicago. And I gave a presentation there in Chicago a couple of years ago after they had acquired it, and he listened to the presentation that I gave, and so he asked if they would lend it, and they graciously lent it, which was really wonderful.
How many?
So she's go ahead.
How often? I've looked at some of your pieces online, and they're breathtaking. How long does a piece take you to create?
Well, this one was 12 years in the making. I had quite a long time. But an average piece, you know, if it was just a painted piece, maybe about 4 to 6 weeks, you know, to make something that was more, had paint on it. It depends, you know, just I like how much work I want to put into the piece, you know. So, but I would say that the more elaborate pieces can take, 6 months. You know, some of them are a couple of years. I've got another one sitting here right now that I've been working on for years, a good 10 years in the making. And that's because I stop so that I can work on other pieces. You know, so it's not like I'm, you know, sitting here for 12 years. Sometimes these pieces will sit for several months and then I'll go back, you know, and keep working on them.
I think a lot of artists work in that way. Set something aside, start something else. You kind of have a cone of work. At the top of the cone, things are just beginning, and slowly it works its way down to the point where it's. I guess you could finally say, hey, it is finished. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. More with the Britain Museum and artist Rhonda Holy Bear. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Doug, summer's coming and I want adventure.
You mean camping, trails, and mountains?
You got it, and more.
Then check out this 2017 Jeep Wrangler Sierra at Waring Chevrolet.
That screams fun.
Only 70,000 miles, and get this, Bob, just $399 down, and your payments are only $399 a month on this Jeep Wrangler.
Wow, anyone can live with that kind of payment. Does it come with hiking skills?
No, Bob, but the Jeep helps.
Check out the $399 down and $399 month vehicles at Waring Chevrolet. Go online, waringsheridan.com.
Let's celebrate America's 250 the Wyoming way. Make a day of it in Buffalo, then head on over to Presinsky Park, where your pants are going to want to get up and dance at the Red, White, and West 250 with rising country star Cole Goodwin. The opening act takes the stage at 4, Cole Goodwin at 6. This 250 barn burner is going to have you foot tapping well past sundown. Sponsored by the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, Johnson County 250, and the 93.7 Coyote. Get your tickets early at yotheater.com.
Is it tinnitus? Is it tinnitus? Regardless, it's annoying. Hi, this is JT with Ebia Hearing. Ringing in your ears isn't something you have to just live with. Tinnitus affects millions, and treatment has come a long way. From specialized hearing aids to breakthrough therapy like Lanier, we can help reduce tinnitus symptoms over time. Relief is possible. At Ebia Hearing, our specialists can help you find the right path forward. Call 674-8920 to schedule your hearing loss or tinnitus consultation today. That's 674-8920.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Britain Museum Curatorial Director, Yuchen Wirich, and by phone, we're joined by Lakota artist Rhonda Holybear. Rhonda, when did your journey in art begin?
It's always been with me. I was born with it. So I was born, you know, from the people, and I was always creative my whole entire life, and making figures. Came to me as a little girl, and it was something that always stayed with me, and it was inspired by stories from my grandmother. And then when I became a teenager, I kept making the pieces, and I collected. I had a whole bunch of them that I had made, and it was just something that just was always with me. So there's never been a day that I wasn't an artist. I've always been an artist.
Now, And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you're a storyteller, a story keeper.
Well, a story keeper, that's in our tradition as Lakota people, is that stories have been passed down from generations. So stories that I hold, you know, came from my grandmother. That's part of our oral tradition. But I'm also a visual artist. So the stories, they go along with the other tradition of how we tell our stories, and that's visually. So you have the oral tradition, and then that passes through your heart, and you use your hand to tell the story through imagery. And so that's how I tell the stories. And I've done also a lot of research because our culture was disrupted by all of the events that happened throughout the past several hundred years. And so it's just something that I've always kind of done, you know, as a child. Like I said, I heard the stories. I always was very capable of making art. You know, you hone those skills, you know, as you grow older and you just kind of get better at it. And but also it's backed by a lot of research, you know, that I've done over the years. And it's piece by piece. You know, that it's not just stories of my grandmother, but it's our other grandmothers, you know, that we're one people. So my grandmother is everybody's grandmother. Their grandmother is my grandmother. And those are our stories. So a story keeper, I would just say the stories kind of, they're, it's stories that I've gathered and stories that kind of pass through me and out my hand, you know, so my hand, you know, does the work, you know, as a visual artist.
What emotions or conversations do you hope your work sparks in those who have the opportunity to view them?
Oh, the deep emotions, deep, reverent emotions. I mean, they're really, because that was quite an event that happened there at Greasy Grass. And I think that for those of us who had families that participated there, it on both sides, and I'm not just, you know, acknowledging, you know, only the Lakota side, war is pretty serious, very serious. You lose lives there. And so, but on my side of the story, for my own family, it was pretty deep, you know, and something that I heard throughout my life, growing up in South Dakota, a little bighorn was spoken of many, many times throughout my life, and it's a great. There was a great sense of pride that, you know, that we relive, you know, because it was a big day of victory for those who participated that day. But it was also a great day of loss as well. So there is a lot of emotion that's related to that day, that anniversary, which is coming up.
Absolutely.
Here really shortly. For my own family, this was just a fragment of information that I had, that my father told me this story, again, oral history. And I went to visit him when he was about 70. He was in his 70s, about 77 years old. And I went to visit him, and I asked him about family history, and he told me that story. He said, we had a relative that died on the battlefield. And he showed me a picture of my grandmother and the names in the family. Like in Lakota tradition, our names will tell you about our reputations. And so his father's name was Tashunka. It means his horse, and his brother's name was Dog. And so that I only have half the name because I couldn't remember. I wrote it down, but I lost it, you know, so I only have half the name. And so the name was Dog, you know, and so those two animals are closely related to warrior history. And so it tells you a lot about a family's history. It means that they were part of these warrior societies. And so those are great names. And then his mother's name was Josephine Sees the Horse's Woman. So these are very, very highly respected names in our culture. And then her sons, she would marry later, and she married a Frenchman. His name was Leblanc. And they had like 10 children together, and my father was the youngest of one of the younger ones of the five brothers, And those brothers would all go on to participate in World War II. My father himself was in the Korean War. So this was a family that they weren't afraid. They were very brave. They took part in wars. They were the protectors of family. And that's mainly what it really was, is that it wasn't that we were war mongers. We were protectors of family. That's what we were. Leaders and protectors of families.
Defenders.
And so, yes, yeah, that's where, like, the name dog comes into play, because though the dogs were our very first allies when we were people out on the plains, and dogs are highly thought of because of their protective nature and because of their self-sacrifice. And so to be named after the dog was, you know, that was very, very highly thought of.
A great honor.
Yes, they drew from the power of the animals. The animals is the power that the animals had. They pulled that power into themselves and wanted to be like them. So unconditional love, bravery, devotion, you know, that's what it was all about. And it was all about family.
I'm running out of time. How can folks see this exhibition?
Well, first of all, just go to our website, thebrintonmuseum.org, and you can learn all about it. This is a great summer at the Brinton. We have the Unfinished War. It runs until September 14th. At the same time, we have the Jim Jackson retrospective. Those are two wonderful exhibitions. If you've never been to the Brinton, this is the time to come. If you're a regular, you want to come to this one. And there's programs going on. There's a lecture coming up on Thursday. There's another one August 27th. Again, go to our website, thebrintonmuseum.org. You can learn about these programs, and you don't want to miss this exhibition.
I want to thank you both so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Wyoming Community Foundation. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Please join us on Saturday, June 20th for the Bighorn Volunteer Fire Department's annual pancake breakfast. It will be from 7 to 10 a.m. at the fire station in beautiful downtown Bighorn. This is our way of saying thank you for all of the great community support we get throughout the year. That's the Bighorn Volunteer Fire Department's annual pancake breakfast, Saturday, June 20th from 7 to 10 a.m. at the fire station in Bighorn. See you there.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest would like to announce that mosquito fogging will begin starting the week of June 15th and continue through the mosquito breeding season. Fogging will take place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings when necessary. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean, and I'm proud to be a part of Wyoming's premier cleaning company. Whether we are extracting flood water from your home, cleaning a valued oriental rug, or helping you breathe healthier by air washing your ductwork, we are committed to ensuring our service is the best and our prices fit your budget. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, or stop by anytime and tour our rug cleaning facility located in the heart of downtown Sheridan.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Hey folks, this is Chris Hayden here at your locally owned Sheridan Motors. Summer is here, and that means road trips, camping, vacations, and plenty of miles ahead. Before you hit the highway, make sure your vehicle is ready for the busy travel season. At Sheridan Motors, our factory-trained technicians and state-of-the-art equipment are here to properly service and repair your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, or GM vehicle. Plus, we offer local pickup and delivery, and you'll get a free car wash with any service. Sheridan Motors, the friendliest place around to keep you rolling all summer long.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for a Sig Apart this morning, we are joined by Wyoming Community Foundation Associate Director of Donor Stewardship, Salvador Madrigal. Good morning, Salvador. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Floyd. I'm well, man. Thanks for having me. And hey, thank you for pronouncing my last name so well. That's that means the world to me.
Buddy, I'm practicing.
You did great. Thank you.
For listeners who may not be familiar with the Wyoming Community Foundation, what is the mission? And how do you help communities across the Cowboy State?
Great way to start. Thank you for that. So the Wyoming Community Foundation is a statewide nonprofit. We have 21 employees, and we manage resources. About, I would say, 80-85% of what we have is endowed, which means it's invested in perpetuity. The question of perpetuity, what does that mean? Forever, right? So when you invest money for very long term, your paybacks are higher. So we get the privilege of managing these funds for anything from families, like a donor advised fund, which may be yours, sir, as a donor advised, or agency endowed funds for museums or whatever it may be. And we manage these funds, and then the dividends that they earn get granted out to the state of Wyoming every year. And we do a lot of good. It's out through the whole state. We have 6 different local boards and in smaller communities throughout the state, so that people with boots on the ground can manage the funds for those communities. For instance, we have one for Sheridan and Johnson County. And any funds that have been earmarked just for Sheridan and Johnson County, that local board has a final say on who gets those grants. And that competitive grant cycle happens twice a year. So any nonprofit in Sheridan Johnson County can apply for those grants twice a year. That's very broad nutshell of what we do. It's quite a bit bigger than that. A lot of the time when I get questions and I go to, you know, my coworkers and I ask, can we do this? I can't tell you how many times the answer is, well, yes, but it depends. So it's just,
there's always
a way, right? We just find a way. As long as it's to better Wyoming, as long as it's to champion people's efforts for, you know, for nonprofits, whether it's feeding kids or the arts or education or whatever it may be, by golly, we're going to do our best to find a way to help that and to better Wyoming.
What got you into this?
Such a good question. So passionate about people, passionate about Wyoming. Wyoming has been so good to me. You know, we've had, just yesterday, we had a 2-hour Zoom call about why is it that you can go anywhere in the world and see a King Ropes hat? People that have never roped, that have never sat on a horse, but they are wearing a King Ropes hat because we love Wyoming. We want to be a part of Wyoming, right? We want to be Wyoming. It's not necessarily the easiest, right? I mean, the winters are tough. People are tough. Distances are great. But we want to be a part of Wyoming, and we want to improve Wyoming. We want to help Wyoming. Wyoming, God knows, has helped me. I'm raising a beautiful child here now. I can't think of a better place to do so. And if I can give back, if I can help better Wyoming, if I can help people have a sweeter life at it. I'm not saying easy, but good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. And that really is what got me into it. I am so fortunate to know people in the nonprofit sector that were able to help me get into it. And so grateful to them. And it's just, it's wonderful people. And I'm passionate about people and passionate about trying to help. Don't get me wrong. I still can't wait for the days that I get to step on a colt or, you know, go to a branding or, you know, be outside. But my heart and my focus is on Wyoming Community Foundation and helping Wyoming.
And this is helping the entire state. I mean, this is pretty broad.
That is the best part about it. Yes, sir. Yes. By no means are we competing against any nonprofit out there. Wyoming's got a lot of nonprofits, thank goodness. We're not competing. On the contrary, we're an asset to them all. We want to be the ship that kind of helps carry them all on rising waters. We're going to talk a little bit about Five to Thrive a little bit, and that ties in really well with it. But it's, I kind of want people to know that the Wyoming Community Foundation is this big umbrella that can cover all these other nonprofits from getting hailed on, right?
I mean, absolutely.
The water's going to raise, it's going to come up and it'll float all ships, but hop on our ship and we got room and we'll help you. We'll help you float.
Let's talk about Five to Thrive. What is that?
So Five to Thrive, passionate about it right now. It's our probably our strongest push we're doing right now, our strongest campaign. We have a transfer of wealth report that we did with LCCC. In the next 7 to 10 years-ish in the state of Wyoming, there's going to be a transfer of wealth of around $25 billion.
Wow.
I know. That's a big number.
That's,
I mean,
huge.
You and I don't know how many zeros that is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of zeros, man. But so our push is think about 5%. So leave 95% to anything you want. You know, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, dogs, cats, whatever you're passionate about. Leave 95% of that, of your estate, of your wealth to that. But leave 5% to nonprofit. Leave 5% to the communities that help you raise your families, to the communities that help you flourish your business. To the communities that, you know, had the theaters where you went and watched your kid perform at a play, or that have the incredible parks where your kid went and played soccer, right? Leave 5% to keep all that going in perpetuity. So Five to Thrive, five comes from 5% to thrive in perpetuity. We're not talking about a number. I'm not saying, you know, $100,000, $10,000, $1,000. I'm not. 5% of your estate, whatever size that may be, 5% can be huge, right? It can, and especially when it gets compounded with everybody else and it goes into this way bigger pots of money and it produces way more, and it will produce in perpetuity. It will help forever. Long after you and I are gone, it will continue to pay for things that Wyoming needs. Heck, it'll cover things that we don't know Wyoming will need, right? If you leave it now in perpetuity, it'll cover needs that we haven't even seen yet. The world's changing so fast. I was seeing something the other day on the news about how in the last 10 years, it's changed more than it has in like the 75 years prior, right? The world's changing so fast now. So why not get ahead of that, right?
Yeah.
And leave something now that will continue to keep Wyoming what we love, that entity that we all want to be a part of. You know, we want to wear that hat, identifying us as Wyoming, right? So let's keep working on that so that we can keep championing that and championing these incredible people that are out there doing this work, right?
And you don't have to be wealthy for this.
I mean, absolutely not.
When we sit around and we talk about foundations and endowments and we use these words, people like me are like, oh, well, I can't participate in that kind of thing. But yeah, that's not true.
That is not true, sir. No, it's not. And I understand, because be honest with you, before I took this position with the Wyoming Community Foundation, I did sales for a long time and I was good at it because I'm good with people. But I didn't know what a donor advised fund was, for instance, because I never had enough funds to worry about a donor advised fund, right? Or so I thought. It doesn't take much to start with. You know, if you can give $50, it doesn't matter. And especially if it goes into a pot that gets endowed, so it continues to grow. It's really, it's comparable to credit card debt, right? Credit card, it accrues so fast, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're not at 18, 20% like credit cards are, but we are at maybe 8. So it grows, and over years, it grows a lot, and it continues to give out. We have endowments in Sheridan County that started 10, 15 years ago with, say, not quite of $1 million, a lot of money. I know, this is just an example. It's granted out in those 10, 12 years, it's granted out more than $1 million, and now it's worth almost $2 million. So wow. that kind of puts a little perspective to it, right? Started with 9, gave out 1.5, and now it's worth 2. So that's how fast it grows, and that's how fast it can have an impact. So it doesn't have to be 900,000. It can be, you know, if you can give 50 or 1,000, that's what we're passionate about. That's what we want to do, right? And it continues to grow, and it continues to give. And then you get the privilege of saying, I'm passionate about feeding kids. And I know that this month I'm going to feed 2. Next month it'll be 3. And in 10 years, I'm going to be feeding 50 kids. I'm not, I hope that there isn't 50 kids for us to feed in 50 years, that they don't, you know, that yeah. somehow hunger goes away. But how cool is it that you can say that, right? And that your money, your gift, your contributions can continue to grow. And that's a whole idea behind Five to Thrive.
Now, how would one learn more and participate within the Five to Thrive itself?
Sure. So the best place to start is our webpage, and it's just, you know, Wyoming Community Foundation. Very easy to find our webpage. I'm here in Sheridan. Happy to talk to anybody. Like I've said millions of times already, I love people, love to visit with people. All my information is on our website, the Wyoming Community Foundation. If you hop on our website and have any questions, look up my information, give me a holler, shoot me an email anytime. We have donor advised funds here in Sheridan, for instance, just as an example of how cool this is, right? God knows we had bad fires last year. Remember the elk fire
and the house draw and the,
it was terrifying, right? This year we've had a couple rain showers, but it's still pretty dry. It's terrifying. Sheridan area, bless our firefighters, are gotten together, and there's this group of firefighters that have gotten together thanks to First Federal Bank. They've helped them, and it's a $35,000 match. Kim, Mary Kay, Love, Donor Advised Fund through the Wyoming Community Foundation matched $35,000 to try to keep us safe from fires if they happen again. These are all examples of how this can grow, right? These are just private funds that the owner, though, whoever starts it, tells us how they want to spend it. Of course, they have, you know, they tell us how they want to spend their money. And we vet it. We make sure everything's good, so it's not going to go to somebody that's not a legit 401 or, you know, nonprofit of any sort, and we grant it out, but it protects all of us, right? And so there's incredible families like the Love family that's done so much for Sheridan, but we can contribute to those funds however little or big you can, right? It doesn't have to be that total amount. It can be, you know, 100. It can be 500. However we want to do that. And there's so many options, man. And that's what's so cool about it is we can all jump in. The Wyoming Community Foundation, all of us employees, we all gift every year. We all put a little bit of our money into it every year. And it's so rewarding. It's so nice to be able to do it and watch it grow and watch what Wyoming continues to benefit. All we're doing is connecting people who care to causes that matter. That's what we want to do. People who care to causes that matter. We don't decide the cause that matters, right? You decide the cause that matters to you, whether it's, you know, foster kids, whether it's dog and cat shelter, whether it's art or museums. You tell us the causes that matter, and we connect those people to those causes, and we help Wyoming continue to grow. And it happens with a little or a lot. An estate of, you know, $1 million or an estate of 100,000, 5% of that is significant. It's significant. And added, you know, you, me, and three others at $100,000 estates, everything we've ever made, 5% of that is a lot, right? And it adds up, and it's very cool. And unfortunately, we all know that in Sheridan, there's probably not very many houses or estates under 100,000, right? So
that's very true. Yeah.
So there's so much good we can continue to do, and we can help all these people that are doing this incredible work, right, in Wyoming, to continue having this place that we all want to be a part of.
One more time, how can somebody learn more and contribute?
Sure. Get on our website. That is really the best way to start. I'm happy to help however I can. WyomingCommunityFoundation.org, WYCF.org. WYCF, Wyoming Community Foundation, probably the easiest way. A lot of information on there, a lot of reports on what we've done in the last, you know, couple years. A couple weeks ago, we just announced yesterday, just the spring cycle for our local board here in Sheridan, Johnson County, we gave out $86,500.
Wow.
I'll get on there and check it out. It's cool. And my name's Salvador Madrigal. I'm on there. Call me. Any questions, any emails, send them to me. Visit with me. Let's visit. Any questions you may have, I'd love to get to know you and visit. Passionate about it. And I just really want to help you help Wyoming, if that makes any sense.
It does. Okay. Salvador, thank you so much for coming in this morning, my friend. It's always a pleasure having you on here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having us. And I look forward to it again. Please, guys, WYCF.org, get on, type in the Wyoming Community Foundation. There'll be so much stuff that comes up about us. Read about us. Let me know any questions you may have. Look forward to hearing from you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Heard the news? Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides the range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great. A fighter for us. Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
As Father's Day approaches, experts agree the North American father prefers tools, garage gear, and things that make engines louder. If your dad is happiest with grease on his hands, head to Napa Auto Parts. They'll have a great gift for him. Milwaukee tools, garage gear, auto care items, and a gift card he'll actually use. His voice will say, "Thank you, honey," but his eyes will say, "You're my favorite." This Father's Day, skip the guessing and head to locally owned Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Wyoming roads demand tires you can trust, and now's the perfect time to save at Sheridan Honda. For a limited time, buy three tires and get one free on all tires. Whether you're commuting, traveling, or heading into the mountains, our Honda-trained experts will help you find the right tires for your vehicle and keep you driving with confidence. Plus, your free tires included with dealer installation and a two-wheel or four-wheel alignment. Get your vehicle adventure ready and save big. Visit Sheridan Honda today. Sheridan Honda, your hometown Honda dealer.